century English-speaking style, Congress shall make no law abridging freedom of the press. In the 21st century, we must make the equal right to communicate an engineered fact, not a promise merely against government interference. The engineered fact of the equal right to communicate was fortunately produced when the universe was created and the photon came into existence. The electromagnetic spectrum is difficult to misappropriate. It is difficult to make photons behave unequally, depending upon who issued them. Work has been done for this purpose since 1927 around the world, and it was done in the following way. Yes, every government said, we concede that the electromagnetic spectrum is the common property of all humankind, and therefore, we will manage it for you. Some of them therefore meant, we will exclusively determine who talks to whom, where, when, and how. And some of them meant, we will decide among our friends who will exclusively determine using licenses who may talk to whom, where, when, and how. At the end of the 20th century, a local example of this problem, Silvio Berlusconi, discovered that you could recombine the two forms of previous discussion into one, known as media takes state, state becomes media, Forza Italia. Very good. It is always helpful when the fellow on the other side does your work for you. Is there anyone on earth who no longer understands the danger of the proposition of privately owned media anymore? Not within reach of that cruise singer and his megaphone, I assure you. So now we know what the future contestation about freedom is over. Recapturing the photons, making them free again. This is not hard to do. In fact, we have technically the work we need to do. We have the hardware and the software. Here, however, we do not have the legal infrastructure yet, because the lawyers are still busy pursuing the belief that the producers should be captive to the distributors in order to encourage more production. This, in truth, is the real interface between the law of international work and the law of international information. The belief that you get more by enslaving or merely salarying the producer and appropriating what's left over by way of social value as a thing called profit has a long, dirty, disgraceful history. Who built the pyramids of Thebes? Who mined the silver in San Luis de Potosí? But we don't have to worry just at the moment about the stones, the silver, the bananas, and the dirt. Let us worry at the moment just about the bits, the things of use and beauty that everybody may have without excluding anybody else. The electromagnetic spectrum is the domain in which we assure the practical ability to say not just to those locally around us, not just those who look like us or speak like us, but those all over the world, here, we made this. Would you like some? Take it. It's free. The intellectual property system is dying the death that it deserves. I made a little organization in the United States 18 months ago. It's called the Public Patent Foundation. It isn't waiting for a convention that says that the public order should be respected in the patent law. It is making the public order respected in the patent law by a simple, easy, but infrequently employed process known as destroying patents. 2 weeks ago, the United States Patent and Trademark Office agreed with us that we had succeeded in demonstrating a prima facie case for the invalidity of the patent on the single most profitable pharmaceutical on earth, Lipitor, from which Pfizer gains at present $10 billion with a B dollars a year. Its patent on Lipitor, which is facially invalid for simple reasons that you can explain to a child, has 17 years to run. I mean to take $170 billion away from Pfizer. So far, the United States PTO agrees with me. I have spent on that activity $3,000 total. At the end, I shall have spent approximately $6,000 total. And Pfizer, whose stock has now dropped 3.4%, will have lost $170 billion, which sick people will have gained back. You cannot argue, I believe, that this revolution is incapable of attaining efficiency. Ah, capitalism is efficient. Revolution, never. We shall do the arithmetic at the end of the day and see who pays the check. So, where are we in the relationship between fundamental human rights and intellectual property? Intellectual property has all the chips. We have all the good cards. We're about to sit down and play out the last game. You know how it goes. Here, we made this. Would you like some? It's free. So it's a long struggle, you know? The struggle to attain freedom of thought has been going on a long time. And it's been pretty, pretty brutal from time to time. No, the producers didn't benefit. Most musicians in the world drive taxicabs, sweep floors. Most poets wait on tables. Because when you have an oligopoly of distribution, they reduce output to raise price. The great welfare loss of the 20th century was the creators deprived of the opportunity to create by the oligopolistic need to reduce output to raise price. Is there anyone who disagrees with me? The 21st century will see no such thing as the unpublished poet. Every poet has a way to reach the web. The 20th century saw damn near no such thing as the published poet, because publishers didn't make any money from poetry, and poets swept floors. That was the triumph of the intellectual property system's support for incentives for producers. A joke, if ever there was a sad, sorry joke in the history of the world. A joke. But we're not laughing anymore. We know what we mean to do, and we are doing it. We are a very fortunate generation standing here on the shoulders of giants. People have been fighting for freedom of thought in the Western world for 1,000 years. And we're very grateful to them, because they kept it alive in very dirty times. We're doing it again. And the difference is, this time, we win. Thank you very much.